These lectures are part of the Great Courses series. They are produced by The Teaching Company. These lectures are titled Foundations of Western Civilization, Part 4. Lecture 37, Medieval Political Traditions, Part 2.
Hello once again, and welcome back to our series of lectures on the foundations of Western civilization. This lecture, number 37, is the second of two on the political traditions, the governmental traditions of Europe in the High Middle Ages. Last time, we looked at England and France and established a few basic themes about the territorial organization of the state, the nature of central government, and so forth. In this lecture, we're going to focus on some areas that didn't really quite follow the patterns that are evident in England and France. In particular, we'll lay some stress on Italy and Germany, but we'll also work our way around the frontier a little bit. We'll talk about Iberia and Ireland and the Slavic world and so on. Now, one or two preliminary considerations. We must, in the first place, avoid the temptation to suppose that centralization was the normal pattern in Europe. Somehow that in the High Middle Ages, people's responsibility was to begin building the modern sovereign, omnicompetent, territorially defined nation-state. They had no idea that that's what they were doing. And if we look back to the remote origins of the modern state in the Middle Ages, that's our preoccupation and not theirs. We have to watch and see what these people did. We must be very careful not to suppose, for example, that the centralizing trends, evident in France and in England, were the norm, and therefore that places like Italy and Germany were somehow retrograde, somehow peculiar. The borders and regimes of European countries also have been changing repeatedly since late Roman times. For example, if we thought of just two modern examples, the reunification of Germany just a few years ago and the explosion of what we used to know as Yugoslavia just a few years ago. So even in our own times, the borders on the map in Europe can be moved again and again and again. We also have to acknowledge that there's individual historical circumstances that defy handy generalizations. Now, for purposes of making sense out of this period and its political development, I'm going to make some generalizations, but each time I make one, you ought, in a way, to imagine sort of having a question mark in your head, because virtually every generalization that can be offered can also be qualified. Let's begin with Iberia, one of the regions sort of out on the frontier, and see what things looked like in that area. All by itself, the Iberian experience represents a number of the most important themes in European political development. Now, you may recall that in an earlier lecture, we had mentioned that when the Abbasids came to power in the Caliphate in 750, Spain fell away. Slowly but surely, an Islamic state was built in the Iberian Peninsula, focused on the city of Cordoba. Now, the Cordoban regime gradually failed, or it failed to attain centralized control, if that's indeed what it thought it was supposed to be doing. And by the late 10th century, perhaps say after the year 1000, a number of small autonomous regions, which we call taifas, began to emerge inside the Iberian Peninsula. There was a number of small regimes only loosely connected to the emirs, that was the rulers of Spain, who ruled from Cordoba. Now, late in the 8th century, in the realm of Asturias, way in the northwest of the Iberian Peninsula, a group of leaders launched a movement that would last until the end of the 15th century. We call this the Reconquista, the reconquest of Spain. Well, in other words, the reconquest of Spain by Christian powers, reconquering it from the Muslims who had entered in 711. Now, this war begins in the very late 8th century, but it doesn't really begin in earnest until the early years of the 11th century under King Sancho I of Navarre. He ruled from 1000 to 1035. This long war of reconquest by the Christian realms in Spain, it only ended in 1492, as we'll see in a later lecture, was one of the great dynamics of medieval Spanish history. Century after century after century of war on an expanding frontier. The second great dynamic in medieval Iberia was the extraordinarily rich cultural blend in the region. This was a place where Christian, Islamic, and Jewish cultures lived in a remarkable sort of condominium. No place else in Europe, indeed no place else in Europe, had such a rich and complex cultural experience.